You are great. You are mighty, Father. Lord, I surrender for what you're going to tell me tonight. God, I surrender to your will, to your word, Jesus, to everything that I know in my mind is true. God, I pray that you would increase my faith. I pray that you would increase my belief, Jesus, in your power. I pray that you would increase my love for my community, my family, God, for this church, Jesus. I pray that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified in our lives, Jesus, and in this body here. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still. Call the sea to still. The rage in me to still every way. At your name, in Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence me, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to me. Call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise and sing, Jesus, Jesus. You made the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence me, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, sing, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fears, sing, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Silent tear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Sing, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silent tear. Darkness tremble, Jesus, 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 Jesus. hearts tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just rest in His presence for a moment. Ministry in the Holy Ghost taking place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. We're not trying to make anything happen. We're just focusing on the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated if you wish. We want to greet everyone. On behalf of Pastor Roy Grant and Sister Lois, who are actually on the road or at rest somewhere or in their motorhome or not sure, on their way to Texas for Brother Jay's wedding. Woo. Amen. Remember to keep them in prayer. The Rossings are with them as well. We want to keep them in mind. We want to welcome all of our guests in person and online. If you're here tonight and you're a guest of ours, please take advantage of the connection card. If you haven't received one, you can get one at the kiosk in the vestibule. And just a few points of information so that we can let you know how much you appreciate your presence here. And online, you can connect with us as well with the Bitly app there that you can respond to, the Bitly link. And if you will do that, we will let you know how much we appreciate you and your presence in our service. Amen. At this time, we have a Mother's Memorial video. We hope.
Hello, ladies. It's spring. Summer's just around the corner. Mother's Day, ladies retreat, and it's time to talk about Mother's Memorial. Do you have a minute? Do you know what Mother's Memorial is? Mother's Memorial is the major funding source for ladies' ministries of the United Pentecostal Church International. It's the fund that allows us women to have an active role in what God is doing all around the world. Just like a mother, Mother's Memorial exists to provide unique care and support that no one else can. Now, this year's theme is, This is My Story. And this has been our story for decades. Through Mother's Memorial, we have been giving in ways that no one else can. Maybe there's some things that you don't know about Mother's Memorial. Did you know that Mother's Memorial is the only funding source to provide scholarship funds for foreign Bible school students to attend Bible schools in their country, in their language? Mother's Memorial is the only funding source to purchase major appliances for our global missionaries. Mother's Memorial is the only funding source for emergency funds for our North American missionaries. And Mother's Memorial is the only funding source for My Hope Radio that broadcasts the gospel around the world to places that we'll never visit. Without Mother's Memorial, those ministries would not even exist. Not to mention what Mother's Memorial does for Tupelo Children's Mansion, Haven of Hope, Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, New Beginnings, Mercy Nepal, World Network of Prayer, and many other ministries of truth and mercy around the world, around our nation, and around our Wisconsin district. So How many stoves and refrigerators and washers and dryers will Wisconsin provide to our global missionaries? How many foreign Bible school students will Wisconsin support this year? How many North American missionaries will we, Wisconsin, help at their critical time of need? You can do all of that and more through Mother's Memorial, just by giving to Mother's Memorial. By faith, you can pledge to give to Mother's Memorial and then just see if God will supply the funds. If we will give what God provides, then He gets all the glory. Amen. Now, this year, we're going to do something different. It's called the Golden Giver Program. Wisconsin Ladies Ministries wants to say thank you to you, all of you, who as individuals give so generously to Mother's Memorial. You can be a golden giver to Mother's Memorial when you give a $100, $300, or $500 offering. And we will give you a beautiful golden gift as our way of saying thank you, to show honor to whom honor is due. Just contact your Wisconsin Ladies Ministries rep for more details. Thank you for being a golden giver. Thank you for giving to Mother's Memorial and making 2021 a golden year. Thank you. Happy spring, and God bless you.
Amen. 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 If you didn't know, that was Sister Barbara Helderbrand, the director for Ladies Ministries for the Wisconsin District. And her burden is manifest in all that she does in all of the ladies that work with Ladies Ministries, especially during the Mother's Memorial fundraising drive. They make a great effort to support the work of God and the kingdom of God, and you will be well blessed if you follow those instructions. Tonight, if you are going to give, we have several ways to give. You can give online, cgcmadison.org/giving, or you can always mail it to our mailing address, Snail Mail, 5301 Commercial Avenue. If you want to text to give, the number is there on your screen. But if you want to give to Mother's Memorial, please make sure that you designate MM for text to give in order to designate that to Mother's Memorial. If you have pledged for missionaries, you want to make sure that you identify that offering if you're given to missions as missions in to a particular missionary. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Maybe I should say, why don't the rest of you stand and we'll pray. Amen. We want to pray for the service, pray for the grants, pray for Sister Grant. The last I heard, she's still in the hospital. I don't know all the details, but we want to keep her in prayer. Let's continue to pray for Dan Powell for recovery. Amen. And if you have a need tonight, why don't you raise your hand and let it be known, identify it as an act of faith. And we're going to join together and pray for all of these needs and pray for our service this evening. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for your continued presence in our lives, O God. We thank you for your faithfulness, O God. We thank you for the Word of God and the name of Jesus Christ, which is above every other name, Lord. And we come to you knowing that we are your children and that you have given us the ability and the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus. On behalf of our brothers and sisters, we pray for Sister Darlene Grant for total healing, O God, for a miraculous healing in her bloodstream and her lungs and her whole circulatory system, Lord God, that you would heal her completely and deliver her of these blood clots. I pray, oh God, for Brother Dan Powell, oh Lord, for the power of God to minister to him, to give him strength emotionally, spiritually, and physically, oh God, to recover from this major surgery. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon all of those who have raised their hands tonight, and some on behalf of others and some on behalf of themselves. You know the needs, oh God, that are represented there. I pray even now, let your Spirit and your Word be stirred up in our hearts for the sake of faith, oh God, so that we can believe and receive the promise that you have for us, for each of us. We pray for your blessing on this service tonight, especially upon Pastor Jerry Simmons as he brings to us the direction and the plan for connection groups for Calvary Gospel Church, that we may be more effective as your body on this earth, oh God, that we may be more effective in spreading this gospel truth, oh God, that your anointing would be upon him and that it would flow to each of us, that our hearts and minds would be quickened to the call in this last hour. We pray for your blessing on the remainder of the service, that all we do here will glorify you, and that your anointing, oh God, will be upon each of us so that we may honor you with our response, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
Just lift our hands and worship for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me.
He's calling.
And he's calling.
He's calling.
The heavenlies, to be seated in heavenly places,
just like heaven on earth,
to be walking in his favor and graces, just like heaven on earth, to be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces. Just like heaven on earth, to be seated in heavenly places. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces. Just like heaven on earth. Oh, heaven, heaven on earth. Oh, heaven, Jesus. Marching in a spirit of unity to our community, show his ability. The will of the Lord for his children is to demonstrate, perpetuate, to be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth, to be seated in heavenly places. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces. Just like heaven on earth. We're marching in a spirit of unity to our community, show his ability. Of the Lord for his children is to demonstrate, perpetuate,
to be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth, to be seated in heavenly places. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in his favor and graces. Just like heaven on earth, something
heaven on earth, something to move it.
Just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. What you feel in here, Lord, what you're putting into this place today, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for your anointing and your power to pour in here tonight, Lord God. You would revive us, Lord God. You would fill us, oh God, again with your spirit today, Lord Jesus. You would just prick our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we'd be willing, Lord Jesus, to do whatever it takes, Lord God, to push this kingdom forward for you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You may be seated. I'm making a presentation tonight. In order to make the presentation, I feel like I need to just go over a little bit of a sermon that God has dealt with me just very quickly. So if you wouldn't mind, if you'll just turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. If you have your phone or your apps or whatnot. Thank you, Brittany. They were called in last minute to do music tonight, so I thank you for putting it together. We had our leader, Derek, got sick today. So thank you, girls. You guys are always awesome. And I really felt the presence of the Lord, especially in the verse that was the most important to Brittany. And I could tell she wanted to sing a song for one verse, and that was to go to our community. Amen. I know what she was thinking, and she was just going to, we're singing this song. And I thank you for not letting go of that passion. She has outreach at heart. If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatnot, would you just read with me also? Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So everyone say it with me. I am not ashamed. Say it louder. I am not ashamed. Is anybody in here ashamed of Jesus Christ? I hope you're not. I hope you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I wonder if anybody here has a story about what Jesus did for them. Do you have a testimony of what God has done for you? Maybe he rearranged your life. He put your family back together. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. He got you off drugs and alcohol. He set your feet on the right path. God has been our deliverer. He's been our provider. He's been a good God. Amen. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. And you know that testimony that you have in your heart is the most powerful thing that you possess. It's the most powerful thing that you possess. It's the most valuable thing that you possess. That testimony is the best thing that you could ever have in this world. The testimony that you have a relationship with the God of the world, God Almighty, and you know his name, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Tonight we'll be talking a little bit about transforming our outreach program just slightly. We're not letting go of anything that we have done in the past. As COVID has taken some things and restricted us in some ways. But in that restriction, we've also looked for new opportunities. And so even in the last few months, Ted has been passing along that we've been doing roughly 200 Bible studies a month at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, it's not like we don't get up and blow the trumpet and make that a big known thing. But at the end of the day, 200 Bible studies a month have been taught by individuals in this congregation. So we know that we're still reaching out to people. Man, that's a loud plane. They decided to come to church tonight. So we're just changing up a little bit of the idea of how that we connect with the world around us. We will not, you won't be required to have a doctorate in theology to participate in this new program. You won't be required to have a master's degree in hermeneutics or organizational leadership. You won't have to have a bachelor's degree in Christian ministries or even soteric counseling. You don't need to have 50 years of veteran pastor experience or 20 years of teaching under your belt or even have completed all of our discipleship courses here at Calvary Gospel Church, which we have a great discipleship program, 101, 201, 301. There's really just a few requirements to participate in this, and that is that you have a love for lost souls. That would be primary. Does anybody in their heart just hurt for people that are lost, that were the way that you used to be, or maybe they're your neighbors? Maybe you've been in church in all your life and you just see the difference in your life that God has blessed in their life, that they just seem to not be able to get their head above water. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to have an interest that you are willing to transform into an opportunity. So that's what this is really going to be all about tonight, is the interest that you have and your just basic, just the things that you're interested in, the life that you live, the way that you live, in your neighborhood, in at your work, the things that you like to do. You have an interest that you are willing to transform into an opportunity. And the third thing is you have to have a personal testimony. That's probably the most important thing, is if you're willing to tell your story to other people. You know, no one gets saved until someone tells their story. Everyone needs to hear what happened to you, what happened to your life. Your story is vital. People can watch online sermon after sermon and just get doctrinal knowledge, but transformational power happens through testimony, and it happens through experience. And we have an experience in Pentecost that the world does not understand, it does not have. And we need to tell that story about our experience. What's different about us? What's different about the way that our life has transformed and changed? We didn't read a self-help book, we came to an altar. We didn't just have someone lead us through a 10-step catechism or some other type of religious process, but God transformed us with the power of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. And that's the thing that cannot be taken away from us. You can take a lot of things away from somebody, but you can never take away their testimony, their story that they have with Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now you got to understand that it wasn't very long before this time that they were not bold. They ran. They had run away from the cross. They had run away from the people who were killing Jesus Christ and all that happened there. Now John stayed closer, but there was still a lot of fear. But now that fear had been transformed into boldness. And in the scripture it says, and perceived they, these are folks that were trying to figure out what was going on with Peter and John. Why were they tearing the city up? Why were they turning everything upside down? Why were they making such a fuss? Why were people following them through the streets and listening to their testimony, listening to this Jesus that they spoke of? It said that they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's a lot of things that we can learn, and I am all for education. I think that everyone should attend PI or go to Bible school or try to accelerate their education. But if you haven't been with Jesus, it's really not going to be, it's not going to get you anywhere. You need to spend some time with Jesus Christ. That time with Jesus Christ, that personal relationship, and all of the things that He has done for you, we can't even tell it all. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just need to go back and look through our lives and see the things that God has done for us. That is power, and that testimony power is what these men had. They just know that they were unlearned. They were ignorant. They marveled at looking at these ignorant men. Like, why are these people have, what power do these people have to convince folks to follow Jesus? But really, it was just the simple fact that Jesus had affected them in such a way that they couldn't shut their mouth. It was something that just had to come out. Acts 4:29 says, "And now, Lord," this is their prayer after all of these things had taken place, "and now, Lord, behold, their threatenings." These folks had started to threaten them to shut them up, saying, "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." They said, "Just, Lord, we're not asking for deliverance from persecution. We're not asking that you take us out of this trouble that we're in. We're asking that you give us boldness in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of the folks that would try to take us down or try to make us look bad or try to smear our name. I ask you, Lord, that you give us boldness to speak your name, to speak your word, and to preach your gospel to every creature." Amen? They asked for boldness in the midst of persecution. "By stretching forth thine hand, God, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with the word. They spake the word of God with boldness. See, there's a lot of things that people can pray a lot of prayers in this world, but an apostolic Pentecostal, when they pray, things start to shake. Things start to change. Things start to happen. The bold testimony of Jesus Christ can change the atmosphere around you. Amen. Wherever we go, we want some things to be shaken. Amen. I have discovered it's way more fun to reach lost souls with people you love, and even better, doing it while you're doing something that you love. Amen. I don't mind going door knocking, but it's a lot funner to go fishing. If you can take the people that you want, if you invite them fishing, and you knock on the door and just ask them if they want to go fishing, I mean, you get a longer opportunity. Anybody have the opportunity of door knocking abruptly end? That happens because people don't necessarily want to hear the gospel until they hear you. They want to hear your testimony. They don't want to just hear you preach at them. They want to hear what has God done for you. Amen. When you have that opportunity, you make friends with somebody, you can tell them a lot more about Jesus than if you don't make friends with them. I don't want to go through the whole how to win friends and influence people, but I'll tell you, it's pretty simple. If you just hang out with them and find out about their life and talk to them and ask them questions, they'll answer the questions, and they'll go out to eat with you, and they'll hang out with you, and then they'll tell you what their struggles are, what they believe, what they want to know. And they'll also want to know what you have to say at the end of all of that. Amen. John 8:17 says, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." Jesus' smallest evangelism team that he ever sent out was two. I believe it was just simply because they were witnesses, and I look at witnesses as in a court of law. A witness in a court of law, in their law, you needed two. And I feel like it's just way funner and way better when two people are working on the same person to witness to them than it is for one person. Amen? Have you ever just been out and you had a buddy with you and you started talking to somebody who was asking questions about God, and you guys kind of went back and forth, and it was just an awesome experience that God was filling everyone involved with the Holy Ghost, and everyone had something to share and they all had a part to play? That's just so much better. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's just way better. Amen? And so I say that the testimony of two men, if the testimony of two men is true, what about 100 of us together? The testimony of 100 of us? What, who could stop that? When 100 people agree and they all have the same stories but different, they all have the same Jesus but different paths. The testimony is what I'm talking about tonight. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. But not that thou therefore not be I'm sorry, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner," speaking of as the mentor over Timothy. He mentored Timothy. He said, "Don't be ashamed of me either." Amen. Don't be ashamed of your pastor. Don't be ashamed of your church. Don't be ashamed that the folks that have led you to Christ. But tell their stories too. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the story that God brought me out. He brought me out of drugs. He brought me out of alcohol. I was a nobody going nowhere in the middle of a junkyard in Arkansas. High school, kicked out. Wasn't dropped out. I didn't have that opportunity. I did not go to most of my 10th grade, my 11th grade, or my 12th grade. But I have now standing before you a bachelor's degree in theology. Because I came to Jesus and Jesus helped me through Bible school. It took me a little longer than some, but I thank God that that was my story. That story that I had, and you know, some of you don't have that same story. You have a better story. Your story might have been that we won't go that far back with all of our stories. But you know what I'm saying is that we were all sinners. Amen. The same testimony is that we were all sinners. We all fell short of the glory of God, no matter who we were, from the highest to the lowest to the. We all fell short. So in that, we all have the same testimony that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the God that we have fallen in love with. And not only that, that we know now that we've come to know Him, that He first loved us. And He gave His life for us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us to save us so that we would have eternal life. And not only just eternal life, but life abundant here. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of riches and glory here. Our lives are truly blessed, amen. If you have a blessed life, would you just like to praise the Lord for just a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let me remind you that in the end of the book, we win. We win. We win. Because our King has already conquered. He's already defeated the enemy. But there was a part that we played in that. Do you realize that how we won is important to know? In Revelation 12:11 says, "They overcame him," speaking of Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." We're just asking you tonight to transition your mentality from a bring them to church mentality to a bring them to Jesus mentality. We want to just transition your thinking tonight from a bring them to an event mentality to a bring them to your testimony mentality. And we also want to do that together because it's not fun just being alone. I don't like doing anything by myself. I'll just be honest. I have to have someone nearby or it's just no fun. Anybody else agree? I mean, I'm just that guy. Some of you guys like to be by yourself. I'm not the one. I want to be with somebody all the time, even if I'm working on their stuff and not mine. I'd rather be with them than by myself working on mine. That's just how I am. And so that being said, within the next 15, 20 minutes, I would just like to talk to you about our CGC connection groups. Some connection groups have already started taking place. If you could start using those slides for me, and if the ushers could come, I have some handouts for you tonight. Just make sure everyone gets one. We got plenty, plenty, plenty. I'm going to take it this half. You'll take that half. You guys want to split that up? Just everyone get one. This is a pretty simple thing. Connection groups. Let me just talk to you about what the mission statement of the connection groups and the vision statement. The mission of the connection groups is to connect with the world around us. Connect to the world around us. Everyone say, connect to the world around us. And the vision statement is very simple as well, is just to be light and darkness. The way that you are light and darkness is with your words, your testimony. You can do it with your actions, but your words do work pretty good as well. Sometimes you just need to be a witness, amen? You need to just witness about what Jesus has done in your life. You don't know what everyone else's case is, but you know in your case, you know what Jesus has done. And you need to be willing to tell that story. See, we can come together in all types of groups and we can spend thousands of dollars on organizing and get us all together. But if the people who come together that represent Jesus Christ don't tell their testimony and get involved with people's lives and tell that story, it won't be very good. Amen. And so I'm asking you tonight, with the mindset of the reason why we're doing this is to have more opportunities to just tell our personal testimony. That's what this is all about. If you were with us a Wednesday night ago, a couple months now, when I mentioned the oikos, the circles of how do you expand your circles, if you can imagine, just we put your house in the middle of that circle before, but just think of the things that you do in the middle of that circle, like say you're fishing or your hot rod car or your gardening or whatever. Just put that in the middle of the circle just for a moment and say that you dedicated that interest that you have to the Lord. That whatever it is that God allows you to do or he's happy for you to see you do or successful at, whatever that is, that you place that in the circle. And now you look at the world around you in a different light. Who in the circles that share that same interest, who in your circle share that same interest that need to hear about Jesus Christ? Amen? So that's what we're talking about. So connecting to the world around us and being light and darkness. Our goals, very simply, if you'll go to the next slide, our goals and actions are very simple. We just want to make new friends. We want to create new opportunities to gather together. We want to communicate in new ways. So these would be our goals. And our actions is to go into all the world and fellowship with people around us in the world and have fun and be a disciple maker. Everyone say that most important part is to be a disciple maker. Be a disciple maker. If you'll notice that image on the left hand, we're just kind of using that as the logo for connection groups. I couldn't really think of a better one. In that image, there's 12 dots in the circle on the outside, and everyone's kind of connected, and then there's one dot in the center. I kind of see that as what Jesus was doing when he came in. He surrounded himself with 12 fishermen and tax collectors and random people that he found on the street, and he turned them into his disciples, and those disciples became apostles. It's very similar in that way that even Jesus was accused of hanging out with publicans and sinners and hanging out with the dregs of society, the red light district. It's crazy to think that all the places that we've seen Jesus participating and how he was criticized, and he's God Almighty. So we just have to find ourselves in places similar that Jesus would have found himself with sinners, eating with sinners. Now, he did not compromise himself with sinners. He didn't compromise himself with sin. He was without sin. So you can hang out with sinners and not be a sinner. Everyone get that concept? Jesus was not a sinner, but he hung out with them. He helped them. He prayed with them. He healed them. He delivered them. Amen. And literally, he said that his whole mission in life was to deliver the captives from bondage. Amen. And so we just want to make new friends, create new opportunities to gather together, communicate in new ways, and go into all the world, fellowship with the folks around us that have similar interests. Have fun. Amen. And be a disciple maker. Let's go on to the next one. This one is how a CGC connection group model is the basics of it. Sorry, that writing's a little small, but I'm glad you have a handout today. CGC connection groups. Basically, a connection group is committed members of our church. They plant a community group based upon some affinity or interest with the purpose of connection, outreach, and fellowship. That's very simple. The purpose, you're just planting a community group with the purpose of connection, outreach, and fellowship. There's no other purpose. There's no discipleship. There's no Bible studies mixed in with this. There's nothing. It's just your connection as a Christian to someone who's not a Christian for the purpose of connection with them, outreach to them, and fellowship with them. So the benefits of this to the right there is We want to prospect new people in the community. This is a benefit. We're using the group to try to find new folks out there in the community. We also want to make new friends and that with similar interests, people that we could have good conversation with and enjoy being around because we share interests. And we also want to create new opportunities to witness and have fun and fellowship. Everyone says, say, have fun. This is probably the most important part because outreach is typically not fun. Unless you really are just in love with outreach. There's a lot of outreach models that aren't fun at all. And this one is a fun one. Now, this isn't the only way that we're going to do outreach at CGC. But it is one way, okay? So it's just one way that we're going to use our interest and dedicate those to the Lord. Other types of groups, just for the sake of conversation, because there's a lot of preconceived ideas or notions of what a small group is. So on the bottom there's six things that what these really aren't. And so these are not perfectly concrete, solid ideas, but these are generally... This is a general idea of what a connection group is not. A connection group is not that first one in the upper left. It's not a ministry hub. It's not an existing church ministry becoming a central hub for organic groups that would form based upon some affinity. So I'm explaining that because that's not what this is. Now, we already have in some groups that want to try to convert themselves into a connection group that are basically one of these, and we're still working through that process. So like I said, this isn't the concrete's not completely firm yet, okay? So just bear with us as we work through those models. But some of those, in my opinion, would be CMI, P7, and Hyphen. These are groups that are based out of some of our other groups that have other smaller interests, but they really kind of go back to the main hub of ministry, men's ministry, ladies' ministry, youth ministries, other things like that. So moving on, another type of organizational model for small group is what I would consider calling its pastored flocks. Now, some people get all bent out of shape over the word pastored, but it could be just led flocks, like you have a leader of a group. So that would be the entire church is broken up into cell groups with separate leaders, but often with shared curriculum. So they just break the whole church up into groups and just put you in a group, and then they all have the same curriculum, and they'll meet on Wednesday nights, and they teach that curriculum. That's not what connection groups is about. We're not like, that's not what we're doing. In fact, we don't even do that at CGC. We do have the ministry hubs, but we don't do the pastored flocks. Now, if we were ever persecuted to such a degree that our building was shut down, this is a model that pastor has kicked around that if we had to, if we couldn't come into this building any longer, we had to meet house to house, we might have to move to something similar to this. So it's not outside of the realm of possibilities in this day and age. So it's something to consider. But we don't want to move into that right now at all. So don't perceive that as something that's happening. And then over to the right on the top, multi-campus. A multi-campus is a church is broken up into separate location-based campuses with centralized leadership. So this is CGC doesn't have this model, but you've heard of campus multi-campus churches that had small groups, and then they would stream the pastor's sermon over to the other, and they would just show it on a projector, and all the young folks would be at this one, and all the old folks would be at this one. They'd have different sets of music. I've seen those churches. There's the model for that. This is not what we're talking about here, so don't think that. Preaching points. So we have a lot of preaching points down in the lower left. Preaching points are just committed teams from the church that form with the purpose of evangelism in a unique community. Unique community is the key word here. CGC ministries include Revival Ridge, McFarland Bible Study, Deerfield Group, Poinette. There's a lot of those that we've had. We've had a lot of preaching points in the last few years. Honestly, because of COVID, the way that we had rented our buildings, almost all of those got shut down because of the contractual agreements had to be violated due to COVID restrictions. So they lost their buildings or they lost their meeting rooms. And so we didn't own them, so we had to stop meeting. And so there was some limitations there, but we will be doing preaching points, but connection groups and preaching points aren't the same thing. So just to be clear tonight. There's also another one down in the lower middle is called launch groups. This is where committed teams, keyword teams, form with the long-term purpose of planting and growing a new autonomous church with unique services. So a lot of keywords in this one, but we've done this. Vosis is a launch group that has a unique service, a unique culture, a unique membership, even a unique language. And they have a long-term goal to be an autonomous church. And then Stoughton became autonomous recently. And then AIM, I think, is in the same category that they're trying to reach a demographic that's totally separate from our normal congregation. That's what a launch group is. That's not what a connection group is. I'm just having to clear this up because there's been some confusion. One last one on the clearing up the confusion is the closed groups. Now, we have lots of closed groups in our church. Closed is not a bad word. It just means that it's kind of an invite only or you have to sign up. So closed groups is committed members form invite only or sign up only groups with the purpose of healing, discipleship, or accountability. Some of the ministries I would say include Purpose Institute, Marriage Mentorship, CIP, Addiction Recovery, Ministry Mentorship, and some of our Bible study groups fall into these closed groups where you don't want everyone in it, it's just a closed group. There's nothing wrong with closed groups, but that's not what a connection group is. Connection groups are typically open to anyone who wants to attend, especially from their community, and it has to do with interest. When I say interest, we got just a few minutes here, but I'm going to quickly go through. Everyone here is probably familiar with Full Throttle. Full Throttle has kind of been a model for some of this. Full Throttle was an automotive enthusiast group. Anything automotive, trucks, cars, motorcycles, but it was Christian. If you're familiar with the automotive culture, it's not very Christian, right? It can be very non-Christian. In fact, it can be downright nasty sometimes and dirty. And so a lot of, even the saints in our church, men of our church who come to Jesus, but they still like their cars, they struggled sometimes with having some fellowship with the world because they were just, the people were rough and the groups were rough and there was a lot of drinking and cussing and carousing and other things that were attached to that. So when Full Throttle came along, it provided a brand new atmosphere for people to attend a car function or event where Christians were running the show and they were giving their testimony. And they were inviting people in from around the community that weren't necessarily Christian or partially Christian or whatever version of Christianity they were or whatever. They would invite them, and everyone was welcome. And it took off, and it was awesome. And it was just amazing to see people who were just hungry for God. When you come into their environment, into their car world, which some people, that's their whole life. And you invite yourself into their world, and you invite them into your world, and you tell your testimony, and lives are changed. Amen? There's another group that started. Now, we in Full Throttle, we've seen as much as 200 people show up to some of these events. And so there's been many times when we would have 30 apostolic Pentecostal Christians and 170 non-apostolics. So the ability to get outnumbered can happen very quickly in some of these instances. Another one that's recently started is called Take Aim. Take Aim is a firearm enthusiast group. A firearm enthusiast group, just simply, they just like hunting. They like gun collections, or they like going to gun shows, or they like even paintball. Have we got any gun enthusiasts? Or there's a few in here. Yeah, so there's a pretty good group of them in here. So the first event we had was right whenever the snow broke. We had Take Aim had an event. We had 27 people attend. We just played paintball up in Poinette. And at the same time, we've also had concealed carry classes and other types of classes like that. And the ladies, they went to a pistol range and learned how to use their safety device. So there's been that. But, you know, the first event that we had up in Poinette, we had 7 visitors on the very first event. 20 apostolic young people just having some fun. And 7 people who are typically part of those circles were invited in. And we were able to show them what Christians do when we have a good time. Amen. And so it was, I'm sure for some, might have been a shocking environment whenever, after they get shot by someone, they come up and it's like, I love you, man. You're awesome, bro. We love you, everybody. Everyone loves everybody. Isn't Jesus awesome? And they're like, what in the world? That guy just shot me with a paintball. But so we have other groups that are starting. We have a board game group that's forming, that people who love to play board games. We have a hiking group that's forming. We have a kayaking group that's forming. We have one that's from, anybody our missionary that preached here a couple last Wednesday, Brother Branos, talked about connection groups in his foreign country. And so from that, we've heard somebody talk about that they wanted to start an international coffee group where they just go and have international coffee and hang out together. There's a group for young mothers. There's a group for young volleyball players forming, young professionals, an Explore Madison group. There's a biking enthusiast group. CMI has asked to start converting some of their outreach ministry into a connection group form. The Out of Control Breakfast Bunch. Is anybody familiar? Well, some of our groups have been going for a while. They're already connection groups. This is where a bunch of gray-haired, old, crabby dudes get together and have breakfast and poke fun at each other a little bit and talk a little bit about Jesus on the side. Amen. Only some of them are crabby. So I'm just kidding around. But at the end of the day, this is a connection group where you can invite someone from the community just to have breakfast that's in the same age category as a man. And so these are some things that are happening. Now, was anybody here last Sunday? We had Aaron Wright speaking. He talked about going forward in a new way. You know, it's just interesting to me whenever they crossed over that river, no one ever talks about what stopped. The free manna stopped, the pillar of fire, all that stuff was stopped. Now they had to do things on their own and make up new things. Like, they had to, like, literally do new things. Like, can you imagine just doing the same thing for 40 straight years every single day, and then all of a sudden you got to wake up the next day and do brand new things? So that's where we're at with Calvary Gospel. That's how we go forward. We're going to have to do some new things. Amen. It's not going to look like the last 40 years. It'll look like the next 40 years, where we're taking new ground, new territory for the name of Jesus Christ. If you were here, I was responsible for taking care of Aaron Wright at the end of for Sunday afternoon. So we fed him dinner, but I didn't know what to do with him at night. So I was like, man, I had some guys, I was like, I don't really know what to do with him. Did anybody want to go out to eat? And they're like, no, I don't want to go out to eat. And I'm like, well, okay. And then Nathan Neeson looked at me. He's like, dude, let's just break out the grill and like have some brats and burgers. And we'll just come over to my house and hang out outside. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. He's like, you know what we should do? We should invite some families over and see if they just want to hang out, because there's lots of room. No one has to wear masks outside. We could just hang out and have fun. I was like, that sounds cool. So we invited a bunch of people, and I showed up that night, and there was like 75 people outside in Nate Neeson's yard. I kid you not. I kid you not. And I was so worried because there wasn't enough food. Well, they all brought their own food with them. It was a big old huge spread. People were throwing steaks at me left and right, and they were just ready to have fun and have fellowship. But while we were there, there was a brand new couple from our church that had attended our church, and they got invited. And I kid you not, the people that were coming to that couple and just telling them all about the church and telling them all about God and that he wants to get enrolled in PI already. And it's just an amazing thing to see all of us having fun and doing what Jesus is asking us to do, is just be witnesses and be friends and love each other and that. So Nate come back to me and said, man, I think I'm supposed to do that some more. That seemed really good. Like, I think that's the right thing. I was like, well, what are you thinking? He's like, I think I want to call it, or no, I helped him name it. I'm sorry. We were going back and forth on the phone. So mutually agreed, though, to call it Family Fire and have it once a month where families can get together and just hang out outside around the fire and invite some families from the community and just hang out. No preaching, no teaching, but maybe we might pray for somebody on the side or tell them about Jesus, tell our testimony. Amen. I'm 5 minutes over, but can you just bear with me for just a moment? I think the Lord wants to do a brand new thing with Calvary Gospel Church. It was confirmed by the man of God called to France last Wednesday night. I feel like Aaron also reconfirmed it, a fresh, new, forward vision. And we're going to have to put together some stuff, but here's the thing. Anyone can start a connection group. And on the back of this page, there's some Q&A. If you see that, maybe you didn't see it yet, but it just says, what does connection group schedule look like? How will connection groups interact with administrative systems at CGC? How will various connection groups be funded? How will connection groups be branded and advertised? How will connection groups leaders be installed and vetted? How will connection groups launch and maintain momentum? How will connection groups leaders prosper? How will newcomers find a home at CGC through connection groups? So if you got 1,000 questions like some people do, I don't have all the answers yet, but I have these answers for these questions, so maybe you can start there. But I'm just wondering if you have something in your life that you would like to dedicate to the Lord, an interest, something you like to do for fun, that you would like to just see what God could do with it. If you would have something like that, Sister Stone, if you could come up here. Come on up here. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're good. Josh can come too. Sister Stone's helping me out. We have a card for you. This is a hard, like a plastic card. And on the back of it's a QR code. I built some systems for you to get together with me. So there's 3 steps. There's an application process to just apply to kind of make sure we're not mixing groups up or we don't have something already going. Here's the thing. You don't have to start a group to be a part of one. You can just hang out with other people too. So don't feel like you have to start one. But if you feel like that you want to lead one or you know someone, we're asking that you at least sign up with someone else to help lead a group so that there's 2 leaders in every group at the very minimum, maybe more. And you could just scan this code with a QR, your QR reader on your phone, and it will take you to an application. The application is step 1. Step 2 is scheduling a meeting with me. So there's a thing whenever you scan that code, it'll take you to a calendar, and you can schedule a meeting with me. I am fighting my calendar right now because there's some days I need to block out for going to help at campground. So if you do schedule on one of those days, I might have to reschedule with you because I can't make it show up in the right way. But I have a way to schedule the appointment with me that's just online, and we can do it by Zoom if you don't feel comfortable meeting face-to-face. I have that ability on there. And the third thing is a questionnaire about your idea and how you would like to present that to the world around you. And my intention is to help you do that. And so if you – let's all stand right now, 7 minutes over. I feel like I got through most of what I wanted to say. Everyone say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I think that connection groups is just an opportunity. I think everyone who questions why would we want to do this, or this doesn't seem like a peer form of outreach, we still have those other forms of outreach, and you're more than welcome to participate in all that. This is just another opportunity to invite people into your life, and that's really all it is. If you're not going to be a Christian, though, I would ask you not to run a group. If you're not going to tell your testimony, you're afraid to or too timid to talk, maybe you should just attend one. And that's harsh words, but the truth of the matter is we don't want these not to work well. We want them to work well. And so if you feel passionate about what Jesus has done in your life and you feel passionate about another interest, whatever it might be cooking, it might be some group for mothers at a certain school, it could be motorcycles, it could be anything. We can take any of these interests and turn them into a group and turn it into an outreach, amen. So if you have an interest in starting one, possibly, and this is just an exploratory stage with me, because we have a number of them already going, but if you would like to, if you could just come and take a card from Sister Stone and just take it with you and then follow the steps on the card. We're just going to have a short altar call if you want to pray about it. And she's going to be up here. She's just going to scribble your name down and give you a card. We'll follow up if we don't see you go through the process. But let's just pray. If you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what's stopping us from sharing our lives with other people and the things that we love? Amen. And if there's another group that you would like to be a part of that's already happening, all you got to do is find that leader and meet up with them and be a part in that way. Amen. Also, coming up May 23rd, we have the Save Our Nation. We'll be giving out. There's some cards already out. If you want to hand these cards out to invite them to our Pentecost Sunday a service at night, there's some cards outside on the kiosk, and later the rest of this month after ladies retreat is done, we'll be giving out more information on that. We'll be making announcements. Would you just come on down and pray? If you don't feel like starting a group, that's fine. Just come on down. Everyone just come down and let's just pray about the groups. Pray about what's happening, what God is doing. If you don't want to participate in connection groups, there's plenty of other things to be a part of at CGC. Just come on down and pray. And let's just spend a few moments with the Lord.
The will of the Lord for His children is to demonstrate.
Just like heaven, just like heaven.